If Jesus came to your house for just a day or two, if He came unexpected, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve him would be the very best. And would you keep assuring him you were glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare? But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched and welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in, or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they had been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard, and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put the hymn books out? Could you let him walk right in, or would you rush about? I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? And would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep its normal pace? And would you find it hard each day to say the family grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read? And let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you plan to go? Or maybe would you change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your closest friends, or hope that they would stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the thing you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. The account that we're going to have our attention drawn to from the book of Luke, Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha. My, what an event that must have been. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just have the reset button pushed in every single one of our personal lives. That, Lord, when we look at the priority of life, we need to sit at your feet and hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This really is an account that deals with priorities. And I find it interesting that we have a contrast here. We have Mary, who, just by the obvious context here, seems to be, as we would say, cool, calm, and collected. She's not ruffled a bit by what's going on. And yet we have Martha, on the other hand, who's cumbered about. She's complaining. And the Scripture says that she's careful and she's troubled. And that word careful is not as we use it today. When we think of careful, we think of cautious. When the Bible uses careful, it means full of care. That means she was just troubled about everything. So here, the Savior, the Son of God, the Son of Man, has come to Martha's house, and she is totally distracted, and she is uptight and upset because she wants to put food on the table, and Mary's just sitting there listening to what Jesus has to say. Don't you know that there's work that needs to be done? And so that word cumbered about actually means that Martha was distracted. Here is the most important person in the whole world, the one who formed the very world, formed them, made them, and she's trying to think about food and making sure everybody's got a place. She's cumbered about. And notice, when I think of this in my own life and I look at the context, I see a contrast that, hey, am I like a Mary or am I like a Martha? Do I find myself cumbered about? Do I find myself complaining? Do I find myself full of care? Do I find myself irritated, frustrated? Do I find myself troubled as I seek to serve the Lord? And sometimes I think what we've done is we've gotten our priorities out of whack. Somebody said that balance is the key to the Christian life. This is not an account where we say, let's have one at the expense of the other. And folks, we're great at that. I know when I was going through this health difficulty, I went to the doctor and the doctor said, you need to lose some weight and you need to get on the treadmill and you need to start walking 5 miles a day. Well, you know, if I try to get on that treadmill and walk 5 miles a day, hello, get the gurney, call 911, the ambulance is coming. But you know what? We need to start slowly, methodically, purposely, consistently. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to you too. Let's turn this around. You need to get on the treadmill. Amen. But you know, we have the tendency though that when we have a problem, boy, we put all of our energies right there. And then we let other things go that we had in order, and then they're out of sequence. We need to watch our priorities, and if there's ever an account that really illustrates this, it's this right here. It wasn't that Jesus needed that meal there. The greater part, the most important thing that Martha could have been doing since Jesus had come to her house was not feed him, but listen to what he had to say. Priorities. Jesus said this, one thing in verse 42 is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part. He was in no way, shape, or form saying, Martha, you shouldn't be doing that. He wasn't saying that you shouldn't ever serve. He was just saying priorities are so important. And I just have about 6 points to my outline, and there's just this one central theme that I want to just really get across to us as we think of our walk with God and this particular account in the Scriptures. Number one is priority. Is priority. In life, we have many responsibilities, but we have to be careful to prioritize in the midst of our varied and many responsibilities. In other words, when you build a building, you've got to go according to priority. So first of all, you put the foundation before you build the wall. Follow me? And so when it comes to the Christian life, before you do some things, you need to be doing some other things. And what Jesus was essentially telling Martha is, Martha, first things first. And Mary has chosen that needful thing at this particular time, and that is to sit at my feet and listen to what I have to say. In other words, hey, that's great what you're doing, but that can come later. And see, many, many Christians, we're suffering from a lack of proper prioritization in our lives. You take many business executives, they use what they call a things to do today pad. And what they do is they write, according to priority, all the things that they need to get done in that day. And many times they have them numbered, and so they know that they go from the most important to the least important. And they go according to priority. And that's what we need to do in the Christian life. We need to prioritize. Do you realize that as far as, I'll just use myself as an example, I'm a man. All right. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a pastor. I'm a citizen. I trust I'm a friend. But yet, my number one priority that I have to keep pushing a reset button about is to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what He has to say. I've got to keep that priority in my life. I'm afraid that in many of our churches, we are busy, we are cumbered about with much serving. And yet we find that Christians, for many of their lives, they are marked with being full of care. They are troubled. They are frustrated. They're down in the mouth. And yet what we need to do is be like Mary, who's cool, calm, collected, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then we're prepared to serve. But many of us, because we've not done the part of Mary, we now find ourselves fulfilling the role of Martha in this account. Start and analyze your life. I'm not trying to set ourselves up in this particular message so that I can say, boy, oh, so-and-so's frustrated, his countenance is sorry, and she's got the sourest look on her face, and she's always an ornery, cantankerous so-and-so to try to get along with, and blah, blah, blah. That's not what this is about. I'm trying to get you to say, look, have I spent time at the feet of Jesus? Am I prepared for the work that God has given me to do? Am I involved in the service of the Lord? Many of us, yes, we've just seen so many involved in Master Club, so many involved in Sunday school, so many involved in the bus ministry, so many involved in the college, so many involved in ushering, so many involved in the kitchen, so many involved in cleaning the buildings. I mean, we're busy. We've got a lot of activity around here. But at the same time, do we find ourselves as individuals frustrated, troubled, full of care, cumbered about, distracted, and not effective? Do we find ourselves complaining about, hey, what's old so-and-so doing? And we point our fingers at them and we wag our tongues at them and we give them a hard time and we cut them the ribbons and we criticize and we gossip and we complain. Do we find ourselves in the place of Martha? Jesus comes tonight to each and every one of us and He just sort of rings a bell in Luke chapter 10 and He says, Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha. But you know, He calls your name. Michael, Michael. Gary, Gary. There's one thing that's needed at this time. And Mary hath chosen that good part. And that's not going to be taken away from her. Jesus has essentially told Martha, Martha, I'm not going to tell her to get up and go put on the food. She's not going to go and make tea. She's not going to bake cookies or bread. She's not going to be involved in that right now. Hey, we'll eat later. Right now, sit down. Right now, listen to what I have to say. Priority. My number one priority is to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what He has to say. Number two, the program. Folks, it is important to serve. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, it says about Jesus Christ, in fact, but made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Notice, the form of a servant. By virtue of the fact that we are in these houses of clay and we are housed in a body, then that makes us a servant. We have been designed, we have been created to serve. That's who we are. And folks, not only are we created to serve, but we are saved to serve. So when I'm talking about balance and I'm talking about priority, I don't want anyone here saying, boy, I'm going to resign my Sunday school class so I can sit at the feet of Jesus. Hey, I'm not going to go soul winning anymore because I need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Hey, I wish I could live the life of a monk in a monastery and just go and hum all day long and be with Jesus. We're saved to serve. That glorious passage in Ephesians chapter 2 that talks about salvation being by grace through faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. It says this in verse 10, for we are His workmanship. Even Jesus Christ worked. We see in His earthly ministry that He was busy from sun up to sundown. But when the sun came down, and before the sun came up, He was sitting at the feet of His Father. And that's what made Him effective. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're saved to serve. Every single one of us, we say, hey, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven. We ought to be busy serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And it could very well be that some of our frustration and our complaining and our lack of fulfillment and our lack of joy in our life is because we are disobedient in that. We're not serving as we ought. We're not busy about our Father's business. There's no way, shape, or form that He's trying to downplay being busy and serving. What He's doing at this particular juncture is He is emphasizing, first and foremost, sit at the feet of Jesus. I asked you tonight, when was the last time you sat at the feet of Jesus and said, Jesus, I just want to hear what You have to say. Oh, we've got to study for our Sunday school lesson. So boy, we're running through those lessons. We're cramming in our Bibles. We're going to classes. We're memorizing verses. We're doing all this, that, and the other. We are busy. We're distracted. We're cumbered about. We're careful. We're full of trouble. Could it be what we need to do is say, look, I have put a little bit of an overemphasis and I've left off this. Oh, I'm not going to quit this, but hey, I'm going to start sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to put first things first. I'm going to maintain a balance in my life. It's not one at the expense of it. Let's do them both. Let's sit at the feet of Jesus, and then let's get up and serve in the strength and power of His might. See, that's the problem. We're trying to do it all ourselves. Trying to figure it out ourselves. So we see priorities. We see the program. But yet we also have a promise. And the promise is that He wants to fellowship with us. He didn't just want to save us from hell. Mankind was created to fellowship. Remember in Genesis? God made man and He made woman. And He would walk with Adam in the cool of the day. What a relationship that is. And even though we may not experience that right now, like Adam did, one day we will be with Him forever. But until that time, we can still, in a very spiritual way, sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what He has to say and fellowship with Him and talk with Him. Jesus wants to come to your house, sit down in your living room, kick His feet up with your feet, visit with you, fellowship with you, have a good evening together with you. Like when you have friends over and you put the coffee on and you maybe have some desserts and you sit around and you chew the fat, so to speak. You just fellowship. And when they leave, you say, that was a good evening. And you see, that's the kind of fellowship that the Lord Jesus wants to have. And I'm afraid what we've done is we've lost that fellowship, that desire to spend time as one friend spends time with another friend. Isn't it good to get together with friends? And Jesus is a true friend. Amen? And here you have Martha and Mary. Jesus has come to their house. He's right there in their living room. And Mary is just sitting there, cool, calm, and collected, looking at Jesus, listening to His every word. And there's old Martha running here and running there, all busy. And I'm afraid that many of us today, we're Martha, when we need to be more like Mary. We're cumbered about, and we're troubled. How are you? I mean inside. Oh, you know, we're great at putting on the front. We're great at being diplomats. We're great at being the Pharisee, so to speak. We put on the mask and everything's great. But boy, we get in the car, we head home, and maybe we get home. And man, we are miserable people to live with. And you know what that signifies? That signifies that we are more like Martha than like Mary. And it's at that juncture where we need to say, hold it, I'm out of balance. I'm out of kilter. My priorities aren't right. And then get them right. Oh, don't run the other way and say, well, I'm not going to serve. No. Sit at the feet of Jesus, get what you need to get, and then serve. With joy in your heart. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where's the joy? Where's the joy? So we have the promise in Revelation 3:20, and I recognize the fact that primarily this is talking about a local church there, the church of Laodicea. And Jesus is on the outside, wanting to get inside the local church. But in this secondary application, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. You want to be close to God? Go sit at his feet. Go sit at his feet. Go sit at his feet. I mean, don't run to the Bible and say, well, I've got to read the New Testament through twice this semester. Oh, I'm taking this course, and so how many times, Brother Gary, do you have to read Ezekiel? One time. Boy, that's easy. I had my youth director, he had his eyes stood out a lot, you know, the bug eyes. And he said he got that way by taking Old Testament survey in summer school. Because in 5 weeks' time he had to read the whole Old Testament. And so every moment he could, he was reading to pass that course. So it made him bug eyed. Now, that's his words, okay? I'm not making fun of him. He made fun of himself. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Listen to what he has to say. He wants to fellowship with us. We've got the promise. He wants to spend time with us. Amen? Number four. You realize when we sit at the feet of Jesus, we'll see more progress than if we just jump into service. I wish I could learn that. And many of us, as I've said in the past, we live in an agricultural area. We live in a production-oriented area. In other words, here's the work that needs to be done. I can see all the orders. I can see all the work. I see the crops that need to be put in. I see the seed in the sacks. I see all the stuff that needs to be done. And then at the end of the day, you see everything that has been done. You see the plowed fields. You see the work orders that have been complete. You see the customer orders are ready to go out when they come and pick. I mean, you've got the production all right there. We're geared that way. So what happens, we have the tendency to start our day by just jumping into service, just jumping into things. And what we need to do is sit at the feet of Jesus. And then when we've heard what He's had to say, then we get up and we serve. You see, isn't that what happens when you have a guest come? You visit for a while. You talk. You're just enjoying each other's company. And then what happens? You get out the food. Right? Am I right? I mean, we do that. But many of us, what we'll do throughout the week is we'll just jump right into our Sunday school lesson. We'll just jump right out there knocking on doors soul winning. And I'm not saying don't study. I'm not saying don't witness. I'm saying study and witness, but sit at the feet of Jesus first. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. And I'm not going to take that away from her. And folks, what we need to do is not try to take it away from her. And I'm afraid because of maybe the pendulum swing when we see so many people not doing anything in the service of the Lord, and yet they just talk about spending time with God. My friend, I'm saying that if you spend the right amount of time with God, then you will be serving God. You will be busy. Because we know from a study of the Scriptures, God doesn't use lazy people. He uses busy people. Amen? That's a principle laid out in Scripture. Look in the book of Proverbs, those 31 chapters, and just look up the characteristics of the slothful. You think God's going to bless the slothful man? No way. But folks, we need to prioritize our lives. Could it be that our homes are in the mess they're in because we're not spending the right amount of time at the feet of Jesus? Some of us, we've cleaned out our closets. We've cleaned off the video shelf and the DVD shelf. We've monitored the TV or we've disconnected it. I mean, we've got all those things down pat, and yet we're still as miserable as when we had all those things. What's the problem? Could it be that we're more like Martha? We're distracted. We're full of care. We're troubled. We're cumbered about with much serving. And yet, we've not taken the time to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear what He had to say. Am I right or wrong? Progress. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? And you find so many times as we're studying through this book of Luke and we look with anticipation on the life of Christ, we see here that, hey, Jesus was so effective. He went about doing great things for God. And yet He gets up a great while before day and prays. We see Him as He interacts with people, as He did this morning with this lawyer. This lawyer tries to tempt Him, tries to trap Him in His words, tries to get Him hung up in the Scriptures. And Jesus knew the Scriptures. He spent time in the Word. You say, well, He was the Word. My friend, He chose to limit Himself and became a man. And He learned, He progressed, He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He spent time with His Father. And what we like to do is we get all in rapture about, boy, wouldn't it be great to be able to see Pastor lay hands on somebody and have them be healed? Wow. That'd be great. See, we go all after that kind of stuff, but how about sitting at the feet of Jesus? You know, many times I've had to watch this in my life and I was thinking about this. How many times I just go to the Bible for a sermon? Well, hey, Wednesday night's coming. Sunday's coming. 2 to 3 messages on Sunday. Wednesday night. Oh, Bible college class is coming. Oh, you know, I've got to preach here. Got to put a devotional together. Oh, where is it? We've got the academics down. We've got the truth down. But we're missing that fellowship as a friend with a friend. And so what I did some time ago is I just got my Bible out and said, Lord, even though I've got a program that I'm following, even though, hey, I'm going to be studying for next Sunday from Luke chapter 11 as it deals with the subject of prayer, then I find myself, I say, I am going to study for my sermons. I'm going to study more for my messages. But by the same token, I just want to sit at Your feet and I'm going to go to a passage that I have no ulterior motive to go to, and I'm just going to read and I want You to talk to me. I'm just going to read. And you know what? I'm trying to fall in love with just reading the Bible again. just to sit at the feet of Jesus and just say, Lord, I'm just going to read and I'm not going to put a limit on you. I'm not going to say, well, I got to read this chapter. I got to read three chapters because, A, if I read six chapters a day and 10 on Sundays, I'll read it through twice in a year. Boy, that's what I got to do. You see, we've got our Bible reading calendars and our programs, and it's not, please don't misunderstand me, I'm not saying it's wrong. But what I'm saying is, when was the last time you just sat at the feet of Jesus and said, I just want to hear what you have to say? No ulterior motive. I'm not coming here, Jesus, so that you can give me power for me to go do. I'm just coming here to listen what you have to say. What you got to say? Just fellowship. Just talk. And I'll listen. Amen. Amen. Progress. My last point. I entitled it position. And that is, it's just like when you go hunting. You're told to stop, look, and listen. Stop, look, and listen. Folks, I want to encourage you in light of Luke chapter 10. Jesus gives a tender yet forceful rebuke to Martha. He said, Martha, right now, Mary's doing what she ought to be doing. And by virtue of Him addressing her this way, He's saying, Martha, you ought to put that plate of food down and you ought to come over here and sit next to your sister. And folks, what I'm saying is, why don't you just push a little reset button tonight and say, you know, I'm so caught up in serving and in doing, I haven't been sitting at the feet of Jesus like I should. And I'm going to make a decision tonight that I'm going to set aside some time. You know what happens when you take a day off? Sometimes you buy a book. I like Westerns. Sit down with a Western and read. Why don't you just block off some time and say, you know, I'm just going to sit at Jesus' feet. And folks, start with the book of Genesis. Go to the Psalms. Don't sit there and say, well, I got to read my three chapters. Folks, read your three chapters. But then when you're done reading that three chapters, then say, now, Jesus, I'm here. I'm at your feet. Speak to me. Speak to me. Reset, reprioritize your walk with God. Fellowship with Him for who He is, not for what you can do for Him. We need a fresh look at Jesus. We need to walk in the strength and power of His might. Martha, Martha, has He come to you tonight and said, your name? Mary's chosen the greater part. And that's not going to be taken away from her. Why don't you determine now that you're going to walk fresh and anew with God? Let's stand. What's our priorities? Our priorities is our devotion to Christ. That deals with the heart. God always deals with the heart before He deals with the outward man. And folks, serve. That's good. Sing in the choir. It's good. Usher. That's good. Teach your Sunday school class. That's good. I mean, usher, that's good. be involved in the various programs and ministries of the church. Those are great things. God is pleased with our devotion and our service for Him. But make sure you take time, first and foremost, to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear His Word.